Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper Capitol reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and hosted by Montana Public Radio's senior news analyst, Sally Mock.
Well, Mike, the two U.S. Senate candidates, Democrat Amanda Curtis and Republican Steve Daines, held two debates this past week in Billings and in Sydney. And, of course, par for the course, both campaigns claimed victory. But was there a clear winner, do you think, in either or both of those debates?
Well, the first one, I think, is the one that really mattered, the one in Billings that was on TV across the state. And voters who cared to watch it could watch it. And that one, I think it was kind of a bit of a draw, really. I think that Curtis, she was successful in that, you know, she showed voters that, you know, she's a very articulate candidate who knew the issues. And I thought she did a lot better than people thought she might do, being such a rookie at this, going statewide, not many people knowing her. So they got a good look at her, could see she's articulate. Daines, on the other hand, I think he looked a little nervous. He seemed nervous. But he did a very good job of, you know, of sticking to his speaking points, which I'm sure all candidates are trained to do, and answering the questions, you know, fairly well. Curtis, of course, her style was to go after Daines and paint him as an extremist, as an extreme conservative right-wing congressman who doesn't represent the mainstream in Montana. And whether that's successful or not, you know, that's the Democrat strategy. And Daines, you know, in person and when he speaks, you know, he really doesn't sound like an extremist. I mean, he is a very, you know, garden variety, conservative, pro-business Republican. I think that's the way he comes across. I think that that's the way he is on most issues.
And it's interesting, Mike, that he didn't really respond directly to her as a candidate. He directed many of his comments towards the current Democratic administration, towards the policies of President Obama. That seems to be his focus rather than going after Amanda Curtis.
That's clearly the strategy of the whole Republican Party in Montana and probably nationwide, to nationalize the races, because Obama he's not popular. Let's face it, he has very low approval ratings in Montana. So they're going to tie Democrats to him whenever they can, even if it's a local race like the legislative race. In the Sydney debate, Daines did a lot more of that. And he kind of went after her on a couple of things in the Sydney debate. He was a little more aggressive, criticizing her for voting to uphold a veto of Governor Bullock of $35 million in funding for infrastructure out in oil tax country in eastern Montana. And a couple other things. He said that she was, you know, a supporter of radical environmentalists, as he put it. So a little more aggressive on his part in that second debate up in Sydney, where he certainly had a very receptive audience.
And as you said, Mike, considering that Curtis was teaching high school math a scant 2 months ago, she held her own pretty impressively in both those debates.
I think she held her own much better in the Billings debate. In the Sydney debate, she wasn't as good. There's, I'd say, several questions where she didn't really answer the questions. She just kind of got out some sort of a talking point. But that was a debate where the questions were much more geared toward things that Daines was comfortable with, I think, given his stance on, you know, natural resource development and agriculture and things that are important to the rural part of the state, which is certainly what Sydney is.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, both the House candidates, Democrat John Lewis, Republican Ryan Zinke, and the third candidate, Libertarian Mike Fellows, also debated this week. And the underdog, John Lewis, it seems to me, is getting more bite and being ever more aggressive as he tries to gain ground on the front runner, Mr. Zinke.
Yes, I think that's definitely the case, Sally. And that's really no surprise. The polls we've seen, Lewis is trailing by, within single digits. And so he has to do that. He has to convince voters that, you know, they should vote for him instead of Mr. Zinke. And the Great Falls debate was probably the more interesting of the two. The other one was in Kalispell on Sunday night. One of the questioners, a reporter from the Great Falls Tribune, John Adams, asked Zinke about his missing military records and when were we going to get to see those. Especially was interested, as are all media in Montana, in what's called a fitness report, kind of an annual personnel evaluation dated June 15th, 1999. And some of Zinke's critics in the military are saying that's going to be a bad report for Zinke because it has to do with allegations that he misused government money by flying to Montana to scout out places for SEALs to train here. Zinke has said throughout the campaign that he did make a mistake. He submitted a receipt for a one-way plane ticket to Whitefish, ostensibly to look for SEAL training property, and the Navy disallowed the expense, and he paid back the $211 bill, and that was that. His critics in the military saying there's much more to it than that, and it'll all show up in this report in June of 99. Zinke released some records to us, but only released four of the fitness reports over his 23-year period, and they're more than annual reports in some cases. That was not one of the reports he released. Now, he submitted a request to the Navy on September 1st to get all of his records and intends to release them when he gets them. He's expected to receive them sometime in the middle of next week. So presumably that will settle the issue if we see that report from June of 99.
Mr. Zinke points out that since 1999, he received several prestigious appointments in the military that certainly reflected the military having high regard for his service.
That's definitely the case. And so I really don't know who to believe. His prime critic is a guy named Larry Bailey, a retired Navy captain in the SEALs who was in charge of training Zinke when he initially underwent the first set of training drills down in California when he became a SEAL. So there's definitely some bad blood there, and we'll see who's right when the reports come out, hopefully next week.
And, Mike, in the U.S. Supreme Court race between incumbent Mike Wheat and his challenger Lawrence Van Dyke, there's a new ad out that is by the Montana chapter of Americans for Prosperity. And let's listen to that ad and then talk about that.
Montana deserves a fair and impartial Supreme Court. But Justice Mike Wheat, he has a history of supporting extreme partisan measures. Wheat supported a statewide sales tax that would have cost Montana families over $450 million each year. And he supported raising fees on hunting and fishing licenses and on our car registrations. Wheat even voted no on clean-burning natural gas, jeopardizing Montana jobs. Call Mike Wheat and tell him to keep his extreme politics out of the Montana Supreme Court.
And Mike, this is a nonpartisan race, but the ads attacking Mr. Wheat and the ads supporting him go along party lines.
Yeah, pretty much. That ad we just heard is just one little piece of what we've been seeing. America's for Prosperity just kind of started out this week. We've had at least $750,000 spent by outside groups in this race. It's probably going to surpass $1 million. Three out of the four groups that I know of are against Wheat. These are conservative groups who are tarring him as a quote-unquote liberal, extremist, et cetera. The other side, there's one group, it's primarily the trial attorneys of Montana, who have raised and spent about $300,000 on his behalf and or attacking Van Dyke, his opponent. And what we have here, people are trying to control the court, and we have a court that's pretty closely split, but if you defeat Wheat with a conservative, the conservatives are going to almost control the court on some key decisions in the future. So that's what's going on here. And, you know, the ad you just heard, there's a lot of things in that ad I think are really inaccurate. But be it as it may, you know, the message is clear. It's just a matter of, you know, are voters going to believe what they hear? Because in judicial races, you know, there's not a lot of information out there. People don't know these candidates very much. They don't know what they stand for. Judges really can't run and say, I'm going to do this or that. So there's a huge vacuum of information that these groups are more than happy to try to fill and influence the vote.
And speaking of influence, there's also a mailer that a lot of Montana voters got recently that has the Great Seal of Montana on it. And this mailer supposedly shows the political leanings of four Supreme Court candidates. And it's put out supposedly by researchers at Stanford and Dartmouth. What is that all about?
It arrived in people's mailboxes this week. It looks very official. It says 2014 Montana General Election Voter Information Guide. There's the Seal of Montana, which cannot be used for this kind of thing without permission of the Secretary of State, who yesterday denounced it as unethical and probably illegal to use it. If you look on the backside, it's got this line with dots showing where Jim Rice and David Herbert are compared to Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. But the more important race, at least the one drawing the most attention, is the other race between Mike Wheat and Lawrence Van Dyke. And it shows Wheat not far from Barack Obama on this scale, and Van Dyke more conservative than Romney. And it's put out as part of a Stanford-Dartmouth research project to try to see if this will influence elections. Well, it's clearly got people outraged in Montana, and Stanford University today apologized for it, but the damage is kind of done. 100,000 of these went out. As Mike said, nobody really knows much about the Supreme Court race or the candidates, and you know, this could make a difference in the race, and there's really nothing the state can do to stop it now that it's out here.
And it does seem like there is something fishy going on here that goes beyond a research project, but we should point out we don't know what that is yet.
No, it's hard to know. I mean, you know, if this truly is a research project, you know, these guys ought to be ashamed of themselves for just messing with Montana's election as some sort of plaything. And you know, if it isn't a research project, I'd like to know who's behind it. But like I said, if it is, I mean, Chuck's right. This is just outrageous that these guys would just insert themselves into the election with just this mail-in. No one really knows who it's from or what it's about, and it could have an effect on the outcome of the race for the Supreme Court and the control of the Supreme Court, who controls it in terms of liberal or conservative or whatever, however you want to describe it.
In big letters at the bottom of it, it says, "Take this to the polls!" exclamation point. So it's clearly an attempt to influence the election, I think.
Well, more to be found out there, I'm sure, and we'll keep following that. Meanwhile, the days are getting shorter, as is the campaign season, and one of those things is a good thing. We will talk again next week, guys. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Sally.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper's Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and hosted by Montana Public Radio senior news analyst Sally Mock. We hope you'll join us next week. And don't forget, Campaign Beat is available to listen to and share on our webpage at mtpr.org.